That Metal Interview.
The Dark Horse is the album you have to look for. It's coming up very soon here. New album by Riley's LA Guns. Of course, the leader being drummer Steve Riley, longtime LA Guns drummer, formerly of Wasp. And I have the honor on this episode to speak to this rock legend, Mr. Riley. He's a part of our show today, Steve Riley of Riley's LA Guns. And right now we're going to check out Rewind, one of their brand new songs. And here it is. Enjoy. We'll be right back.
Searching for things I can't seem to remember I lost. Can I remember? Would it change it at all? I wish I knew. I never would have given you a second, a second.
Who you been with?
80s hard rock fanatics, glam metal, glam rock fanatics, hair metal, hair rock, whatever you want to call it. You're all welcome. And this episode is just for you and me because we have Steve Riley of Riley's LA Guns. Yes, current drummer for the band and formerly of Wasp. For those of you that follow Mr. Riley's career, and he is nice enough to accompany us on this episode and speak of their newest music, their newest jams, and their album that's coming up very, very soon here, The Dark Horse, right? So, and that's on Golden Robots Records. Anyways, let's cut it short. And this is our conversation with Mr. Steve Riley. Enjoy. True honor talking to you, Steve, a true rock star for sure. I first heard of you through Wasp. Back in the day, I bought the Live and the Raw, and I became a fan, you know, so thanks for creating badass music for us fans.
Thank you so much, well, I appreciate that.
So let's speak of Rewind. Talk to us about the song, Riffs, lyrics, who did all these, who's the creator of the song?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we've got four songwriters in the band, true songwriters that have their own catalog that they're sitting on, and songs that we write together. And so, you know, somebody will bring the gist of the song in, and then we'll finish it in the studio. This particular song, Rewind, Kurt Froelich, the lead singer, he brought this idea in. He had already demoed it out and had been sitting on it for a while. And that's like a bunch of our materials like that. And he brought this in, and it was just fantastic. The demo sounded great, and I was just adamant that we needed to put this on the album, and I'm so glad that it did. I can't wait for people to hear it. And as far as the lyrics for Rewind, they're strictly written by Kurt Froelich, the lead singer.
Okay, so it's basically his creation. Okay, cool.
What? Yes, it is. And, you know, and like I said, you know, somebody will bring a gist of a song in, and then we'll finish it and add parts and figure out maybe about a different arrangement. But this is a Kurt Froelich song, and I just think it turned out fantastic.
Nice. So to accompany the new single, you guys are also, you're also releasing a limited edition bundle series of vinyls. Where can fans order this stuff?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
You know what? Golden Robot Records, go there and order it on Golden Robot Records. And if you go to LAGuns.net, you can also see how you can order it there also. And there's a couple of different ways. And if somebody really wanted to order this, they can go to Golden Robot Records, and they would be directed on how to order this very easily.
Nice. So the new album coming out, The Dark Horse, Golden Robot, do you have a release date on this or nothing yet?
Yeah, we do. We do, and I've got it right here. Let me pull this out because I wanted to get this exactly right for you. Yeah. We've got the single coming out this month, and the single will be coming out on February 17th. And then we have another single coming out, a third single, The Dark Horse. It's the title track. That'll be coming out on April 14th, and then the full album will be released on May 19th. So, you know, these next 3 months, 3.5 months, we've got some action going, but the full album will be released on May 19th, and you could pre-order it on a little bit before then.
Okay, cool. There you go. For fans asking, May 19th is the day where we can check out The Dark Horse, the whole thing. So how many tracks on there, and is it 12 tracks, 10 tracks?
Yes, we have 10 brand new original tracks on there, and we had so many songs that we had finished, and but we narrowed it down to those were going to be the 10 that we wanted to put on this album. So we have a wealth of material, and We're definitely never starved for material because we got four writers in the band, and we'll all have so much material that we've either written before, and we're leaning on some of that, or some brand new stuff that we put together for the album. But we got 10 brand new tracks for this album.
Awesome. So how about the name, The Dark Horse? Who came up with that name, and what's behind that?
Well, you know what? I tell you what, it was... Kelly Nichols came up with that title for The Dark Horse, and we had gone through a few different titles that we were thinking about using, but he came up with that title, and you know, just like Renegades and the hidden meaning behind that, the way we're a kind of a renegade type of band, and The Dark Horse also has a couple of connotations about it, and one of them could be is we are the dark horse. We feel like, you know, we're one of those bands that, you know, people might wonder about and question a little bit, but, you know, we're that dark horse, and we feel like, you know, we're one of those dark horses that always can be a winner, too, you know? And we certainly feel that way right now, especially after doing Renegades and getting the response from that. And we can't wait for people to hear this new Dark Horse, too, because it's turned out just stellar, James. And everybody's taken a step up with the production, the writing, the performances. It's just we're very, very happy with the way it turned out.
So you mentioned 10 tracks. Are there any ballads in there? They're all rockers?
You know what? I can't say there's like a true ballad in there. You know, we have some slower songs that are in there, and we're well known for from the 80s all the way up to now as being a band that has always had a real mixture of songs on their album, never really two songs that sound the same, and we our songs go from one mood to another, and that's certainly the case with The Dark Horse too. We have some stuff that just bounces around, and it's all really, really good sounding, but never really two songs that sound the same.
Yeah, you guys have an awesome style. Rock, straight rock, badass. So I thought...
Yeah, and we always felt really that was important to always have a real wide variety of material that we have written, and to make sure that we just touch on a bunch of different styles with whatever we're recording.
Yeah, I saw you guys had to postpone the April Mohegan Sun show. What happened there? Is it double booking, as you said, or what happened there?
Is that you mean this past April that went by?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was them. We ended up doing a show there, and I don't have it right in front of me, but the first show that they booked us there, it got moved for some reason, and they asked us would we be cool moving it into another slot.
Okay.
And we did. So we ended up playing the Mohegan, and it went over really, really good. It was a great show, and we're hoping that's a stop every year at that venue because it's just a great venue to play at.
Nice. So let's talk about yourself here. At what age did you start playing drums or any instrument for that matter?
Oh, I'm just a life of James. I've been playing drums. I'm 67 right now, and I've been playing drums since I was like 5-6 years old.
Wow.
So I've been playing drums for almost over 60 years now, and
incredible.
I'm a total lifer right now, you know. It's, you know, it's what I do. I might take a year or two off here and there, but I never really quit the profession or leave it. It's just something that is in me, and drums have been my love for so long, and it's something that I wanted to master. I wanted to play with different types of bands, and I think I kind of accomplished that too by playing with Steppenwolf, Keel, Wasp, LA Guns, you know, a bunch of different style bands. And before that too, I played with some Midwest bands that were almost country rock, and you know, it was something that I really wanted to do. I wanted to explore all different styles of drum too.
Wow, what a resume. Steppenwolf, Wasp, LA Guns, I mean, that's just incredible. Congrats.
Yeah, I was very lucky, and talent is one thing that you have to have, but timing and luck in this in this business too is so important, James, too. You have to have that little bit of luck and timing on your side. And I was very fortunate to get into all of those bands, Steppenwolf, into Keel, into Wasp, into LA Guns. The timing was perfect, and I was right there at the right time too.
So which was your first band? It wasn't Wasp, was it?
Oh, no. I had been playing and recording since like 1975. So, you know, I started playing right out of high school in bands that were on labels. And I did a bunch of bands that were one-off bands that we did an album, and for some reason or another, we never did a second album. And I just moved on from one band to another. And I just made myself be ready for the next thing. I didn't always know what it was going to be, but I knew something was going to happen. And I just made sure that I was always prepared for that. And I've been recording like since 1975. I did an album with Todd Rundgren in 1975. He produced it. And I've been fortunate to work with some really good producers too, Tom Worman, Gene Simmons, Andy Johns. Wow. So, you know, I've been very fortunate too.
Wow, nice. So how was it working with Blackie Lawless? Can you share a couple of stories?
Yeah, no, it was a tremendous experience. I have nothing but good things to say about him. And I wish that original Wasp that I was in with Chris Holmes and Randy Piper and Blackie, I wish that it could have lasted longer. I thought it was a great band. I was very happy in that band. I thought that we really had something special with the sound, and the four of us, the chemistry was so, so good live in the studio. And I just wish it could have gone on longer. But I did do 4 years with them and three albums. So, yeah, I can't complain. It was a really good run. And I think Blackie is a tremendous songwriter and performer. And God bless him. He's still doing it right now, too. And he's doing it at a high level. And I just have a lot of respect for that guy.
I think that was the best lineup right there. You know, Rod, Chris, yourself. I think that's the classic lineup.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt, James. Yeah, when Randy Piper and Chris Holmes and myself were with Blackie, that was the best lineup for Wasp in my eyes. And I just thought that that band had so much going for it with the four different personalities and the four different musicianships. And that was a real, real blast playing in that band.
Which was your favorite Wasp song to play?
You know, I got to tell you, playing on Wild Child was really, really a lot of fun, because that song came about when we were on tour for the first album. And that first album's tour was so long. It went about a year and a half. And, you know, I just remember vividly Blackie coming on the back of the bus and with an acoustic and asking me to check this out, and played Wild Child for me. And it was in the barest of forms. And when we recorded it and it did well, I was just really proud about that song, and I just think it's a really, really great song.
Are you still in touch with Blackie, or you guys don't talk?
No, you know what? It's almost a similar thing for a lot of musicians. You know, you become so busy and so embroiled in what you're doing that you really don't see each other a lot. I did see him when we did some dates, LA Guns and Wasp. We did a bunch of shows together, and this was only like, this is about 10 years ago, and that was the first time I had seen him in a long time, because we were both so busy with each of the projects we were doing. But it was great seeing him, man. And you know, I wish I get to see a lot of the old guys a lot more, but like I said, everybody's doing their own thing. They're living all over the different parts of the country right now, and it's kind of hard to hook up like we used to.
So what's your favorite LA Guns song to play live?
Oh, man. I you know what? I've got so many. I've been with this band for so long.
Yeah.
And we've done so many great recordings. I have some deep, dark stuff that we did that really didn't get as much exposure as the early stuff. Stuff off of Waking the Dead that we did with Andy Johns.
Okay.
I thought it was tremendous, and I thought that Tales from the Strip was great too. But you know, from the old material, you know, there's nothing like playing Dial of the Change, something that the fans go crazy over and they love it, and it sounds fresh every night. And so, you know, that's one of my favorite LA Guns songs.
Nice. So what's on your playlist, Steve? What do you listen to? Are you just strictly listen to rock, or do you listen to country, pop, or what's on your playlist?
You know, I listen to a big, wide variety of material, from classical, jazz, country, rock, old rock stuff, and I just listen to so much different stuff, I'm really particular with the stuff from the 60s, the rock from the 60s. I really, really enjoy listening to that and to explore their writing and everything from the Doors to, you know, Hendrix and all of that stuff. I just love it. And so, you know, I just really listen to a lot of classical and jazz too. I've been a real jazz fan for a long time.
So give us your best gig and your worst gig so far.
Oh, wow. My best gig might be when I played the Live at the Lyceum with Wasp, and that was right when I joined Wasp, and that thing was documented with a video, and I'm so glad that we captured it on video, and that could be possibly one of my best gigs. And obviously when LA Guns played the Madison Square Garden with AC/DC and it was sold out and we went over great.
Wow.
That's a high point too. And then, you know, obviously there's a bunch of low points too, because a lot of times you have to do fill-in dates in the weekdays, and some of those dates turn out to be duddish, and you know, but nothing really, really bad on the low end of the scale. Pretty much all the gigs I've done with these bands have been really, really a lot of fun, and a lot of cool times.
So, what's next for the band, Steve? When can we expect you guys in Texas or another country, or what's on your agenda?
Okay, you know, everything starts with these two singles. Overdrive is already out. Rewind is coming out in a couple weeks, and then we're going to release one more single in April, The Dark Horse, and then the full album comes out in May. But before the album comes out, we're doing a show on May 5th in Detroit with Greg White, and then we fly down to Columbia, Maryland, and we play 2 days later on May 7th at the M3 Festival, and that is pretty much the start of what we're going to do this year. And we're waiting for more dates to come in. And, you know, we're not doing small venues anymore in the weekdays. It's just too grueling of a schedule, and we did it for years and years, try to fill up all these weekdays with small venues that have to drive 400 miles to each venue.
Yeah.
So we're just doing all casinos and fairs and sheds and stuff like that, gigs that we could sound good at. The PAs are good.
Yeah.
The equipment is good. The stages are big, and we're with some other people that are on the bill. And those are the type of gigs we play. And if we get 20 to 40 shows, we're happy campers, man. We're not trying to go out there and play 250 shows. But on May 5th, we start in Detroit. May 7th is M3. The album comes out 2 weeks after that. And then we're off and running.
How about for people listening in different countries, like Mexico, Australia, Europe, you know, any hopes of seeing the band over there?
We always have a hat in there telling the agency that we definitely want to do it. What we would like to do if we do go out of the country is go with another band or two. So we have like sort of a little package, and we can play better venues. If we go with like a Skid Row or a Great White or a Warrant or a Slaughter, and we would like to do that and hook up with another band to go over to do Japan or go over to do England, maybe go down to Mexico or South America. But we always tell our agency we're game. We want to definitely check it out, and so, you know, our hat is in the ring, and we're hoping that some more stuff comes through. You know, Golden Robot Records is out of Australia, so our label's out of Australia. They want us to come over there, and we're just waiting to see what comes about, because we definitely would like to do that too.
There you go, for people asking. Would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast, Steve, before I let you go?
Yeah, I want them to go to goldenrobotsrecords.com and laguns.net, and check out what we're doing live this year, and to see, to stay on top of what's coming out with Rewind. I can't wait for everybody to hear it. And Dark Horse coming out in May. I can't wait for everybody to check that album out, and just keep their eyes peeled for what we're going to be doing with Riley's LA Guns.
Awesome, Steve. Thank you for making time, and we can't wait for the Dark Horse and the new single this coming Friday. Appreciate that. Appreciate your time.
Hey, James, thanks so much for the support, brother. You be safe, and I hope to see you out there this year, okay, brother?
For sure. Thank you, Steve. Take it easy.
All right, thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Do not forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You are in tune to That Metal Interview podcast with your friend James, host, and your friend, fellow thrasher, fellow rocker, fellow metalhead, whatever you want to call me. This is just for you, and thank you for tuning into our podcast on whichever streaming format that is of your preference. It could be iHeart, it could be Google Podcasts, Amazon, it could be Spotify, it could be YouTube, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and so on and so forth. So anyways, thank you guys and girls for your company, and I want to thank Mr. Steve Riley, legendary drummer in the hard rock scene, living legend for sure. So anyways, thank you, Mr. Riley, and go out there and support Riley's LA Guns. That's R-I-L-E-Y, Riley's LA Guns. Check out their newest jams. They got music out there on Spotify and different streaming formats, YouTube, of course. Anyways, for now, don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.